don't know that I've heard that one before. Very good. Appreciate them singing. When's Mom going to sing with them? Well, it's good, again, tonight to recognize our seniors. And, of course, Brother Latta gets this opportunity every year to do that. And I appreciate Brother Latta and Miss Latta, the ministry they have here. Amen? And Brother Latta, you come on.
I can't believe you all put up with me for 5.5 years. That's awesome. 5.5 years ago, our very first Sunday morning, that would have been Vivi and Noah and Reagan, and then just 2 or 3 months later, Shelby joined us, and then just a few years later, Caitlin joined us. And this is a special class. This is the class that were 7th graders when we got here. And so this is a special class. We love them. We appreciate them. And they're a special group of teenagers, so we're excited tonight about honoring them, and I know our church family loves them. Every year, we usually have them come and speak right now, and I give them a list of 4 or 5 things we want them to say, and they always, it's hard for them to remember those things, and they get nervous. So tonight, we're going to do something different. In the video, we're going to let them actually kind of interview in the video, let you all hear about them as they're seeing their pictures. So a different idea this year. We'll see if that works. But I told them each have about 30 seconds or so to come up there and just share their heart with you guys, and whatever God puts in their heart to say. So we'll see how this goes.
Hi, my name's Caitlin Gentry, and that's my mom, Michelle, and my dad's way back there. They don't like to sit together, I guess. And then my grandparents are over there. We came here about 3 years ago, and I was really excited that we decided to join a few months later. The church as a whole has been a real blessing to me, and the youth group has even been so more. I love all of you guys very much. Y'all have been really good friends, and they've been a blessing to me, just helping me grow spiritually. Same with my parents. They've put up with me for 18 years, so thank you for doing that. They've taught me a lot, just how to be a better Christian, and they've loved me through it all, too. So thank you so much for that.
Well, my name's Reagan, and those two people right there are that's my parents. My mom is Jennifer, and my dad's name is Aaron. And we've been coming to this church about 6 years, and we joined about 4 years after we started coming to this church. But I am really thankful to be part of this church family. One of the main things that I'm thankful for that is the school, that the church started the school, and we could not have the school without you church people. And my life verse says in Proverbs 4:23, it says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." And basically what that means is saying to guard your heart, to keep your heart. And I think it's a lot easier to guard your heart when you're in an environment, in a school setting, in an environment that encourages Jesus and things like that. So I'm really thankful for that. And after I graduate, I will be going to the community college for Tarrant County, and I will be pursuing my business career. And I pray that you would pray for me to be able to start a business. And I think that I could reach a huge number of people with business. Just the possibilities are endless. And just pray for my direction, and that I'd stay in the Lord's will. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Noah. My parents are Troy and Andrea Day, and then my grandparents are Linda and Roy Reed, and Bubba and Denise Day. I just want to start out with thanking all of y'all for making a difference in my life and in the lives of this youth department, because that's the future of this church and churches all around America's youth department. And if you can't reach kids now, you can't reach them. It's hard to reach them out of their childhood life. And I just, I'm going to be going into the ministry. I think God has called me to the ministry. And I just want to see how great this church is for raising good godly kids and in this youth department. And I pray that y'all will continue to pray for us as we go on with our lives and that we continue to follow Christ. And my life verse is Psalm 128:4. And it says, "Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord." And I take that, and if I take that throughout life and I don't fear anything but the Lord and I only trust the Lord, then I'll be okay throughout my life. And so I just thank you all once more, and just enjoy the rest of the service.
Hello, I'm Shelby Wiggins, and these are my parents. And I just want to thank the church so much for just being such a blessing to me and my family's life. And it's just great to have a church that really builds you up and gets you ready for going out and giving the gospel of Christ. And just wanting to see souls saved, and that's just really a blessing to the youth, just that we even on visitation, all of us come, and we have such a great time serving the Lord. And I just want to thank y'all so much.
Hello, I'm Viviana Villalobos. My dad's back there, and my mom's out there recording me. And I want to say thank you. Thank you, church family, for everything you've done for me personally in the youth department. I'm just thankful for you guys. I don't know what will be without you guys. Just thank you so much.
Kind of a quiet, dry group without a lot of personality. They're kind of just the same. Yeah, they're a lot of fun. They're a good group of kids. This is always a fun part of the service. We're going to watch a little video, and it has pictures of all the kids as they were growing up in the teenagers. And so the teenagers, the seniors this time, have a special presentation for their parents, and then they're finished that. We'll have the video.
My name is Caitlin Gentry, and my family has been coming here for almost 3 years. I got saved in September 2004, so when I was 5 years old. It was a Sunday morning right before church. I just remember talking with my mom, and we just talked about that morning. I brought up how I didn't want to go to hell, because earlier that week, my sister and brother had been talking about it, how they were saved and how they were going to heaven, but they're like, no, you're not, because you're not saved. You're going to be going to hell. And it really scared me. So I talked to my mom about it, and she led me to the Lord that Sunday morning. The first time I visited here and was in the youth group, I just really knew that I wanted to be here. I loved how big the youth group was and how friendly they were. My favorite youth group memory is, there's a lot of them, but I probably had to say when we went to Honduras, just ziplining and the waterfall, just with everybody, it was a lot of fun. And then just all the time we got to spend together, and we grew closer to each other, and it was a lot of fun, and I'll definitely never forget it. The greatest thing I've probably learned from church is how to be more friendly, and also that it is very important to put God first. I'm really thankful for my parents and my family. They have sacrificed a lot for me in the last couple of years, just with sending me to the school, and then also just in the decision to join Heritage. It was a harder decision for us, but in the end, I am definitely very thankful that they chose to come here. They taught me a lot, and they help me every day to grow closer to God, and I'm very thankful for that I have godly parents who brought me up in a Christian home. For after graduation, as of right now, I'm going to just be going to the community college here, TCC, and I'm not quite sure what I want to do, but I know that I'm going to be taking my basics and maybe pursuing something in music.
Hi, my name's Noah Day. I've been coming to this church my entire life. I got saved when I was 8 years old. I was scared about going to hell, and I told my mom that I was scared to go to hell, and she showed me through the Bible that in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I already knew that verse, but I never took it to heart, and that night I really did, and I accepted the Lord as my personal Savior. My favorite youth group memory was we were going to camp, and it was just a whole bunch of us guys in the van. We were just having a good old time. We just started joking around. That's where I really started making friends, is going to camp. And that I got to know a lot of the older classmen and really got to spend time with them. And they influenced my life and throughout the years, just on the rides or the church activities or anything else like that. And I just want to, that was probably my favorite memories of was getting influenced by older classmen early on. I think my favorite youth group lesson was when Bud Jesse preached about thinking biblically and acting spiritually. That you don't need to just read the Bible, but you have to read the Bible and apply it to your daily life. And throughout whatever you do in life, is you need to think biblically, but also act spiritually on it. The greatest thing about our church is that it has taught me that we are family, and that we support each other through the hard times and the good times, and how much of a loving church that we have. The pastor is the greatest pastor on earth, and that there's no other church that I'd rather be in, and this is just amazing church to be a part of. My parents are the greatest parents on earth. They had me at a young age, and I was when they first had me, they already dedicated my life to the Lord, and just knowing that I grew up in a church because of them and because of my grandparents, and they have all helped me throughout my life and have really shown me what it is to be a Christian and to really study my Bible and to really follow God's word and to love Him over anything else. My plan after graduation is to attend Norris Baptist Bible Seminary at first to get a good Bible education, and to hopefully in the future maybe go to a different college if it's the Lord's will, work in the ministry for Him as long as it's the Lord's will, and to help others and to lead others to Christ.
My name is Reagan Ratledge, and I've been going to this church for about 6.5 years now. I got saved when I was 12 years old in the summertime. I went down to my grandparents' house in Louisiana, and the preacher preached a sermon about heaven or hell and how you know if you're going to either or, and I felt really convicted. I went home that night, and I told my dad that I didn't want to go to the fire, is what I told him, and he showed me from the Bible how I could get saved, and I got saved in my grandparents' house. My favorite thing about our church is our church family that we have. They're always so willing to help others, and I just really think that's one of the key components of our church. My favorite sermon was preached by Brother Jesse, and it was Crowding Jesus Out, and basically that sermon was about not letting the things of life crowd Jesus out, that we should just keep Jesus in front of our life, and He should be our priority. One of my favorite memories in this youth group is definitely the Honduras trip. That was a really point in my life where I realized that how lucky we are to live in a country that lets us freely worship our God. I am extremely thankful for my parents and them staying in church and keeping me in church and making sure that I'm doing right. And I'm really thankful that Heritage opened a school and my parents put me in that school. It was a changing point in my life, definitely. My plans after I graduate Heritage Christian Academy is I will be going to Tarrant County Community College, and after that I'm looking at going to PCC, and that's down there in Florida, and I'm I want God's will for my life, and I'm open to whatever He has for me, whether that being a preacher or owning a business.
All right, my name is Shelby Wiggins, and I have been coming to this church for around 5 years, a little over 5 years. I got saved when I was 12. One night, I was scared to death that I was going to die and go to hell. And my mom, I came running to my mom, and I was like, "Mom, I'm scared. I don't want to go to hell." And she was like, "Okay." She showed me from the Bible how I could be saved. And that night, I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And since then, God has really just helped me and blessed me through my life. My favorite sermon, or technically lesson, would be the newest ones that Jesse has done, just the ones over prayer and just really getting into your Bible and just one-on-one with God and just putting Him in the center of your life and just learning how to pray to Him is more personal than just praying to a God, but praying to my Savior, to my Heavenly Father. The greatest lesson I've learned through this church is probably just staying faithful to God and just staying with God and always putting Him first and just really how Pastor and his family just put God first and God has blessed them. Just, I want to see that more. My favorite youth group memory is probably when we went to Honduras and we went to the waterfall, and that was just so much fun, like, to be with my friends, but it was a lot of fun going on the waterfall. So the thing that I appreciate most about my mom is probably just her faithfulness to me and how much she really cares about me and how much she's never quit on me. She's more like a best friend, and how she's just taking care of me no matter what. And she's my mom first, but she definitely is one of my best friends and somebody I can always count on. My dad. My dad is absolutely amazing, first of all. He's just a funny guy, and he always encourages me to want to do better in my life, and he always expects the best, which helps a lot. And he's always been there, and I'm so proud that I have a father that has never quit on me and has kept on going. My plans for after graduation right now, I'm still trying to figure out. I'm still trying to pray and see where God leads me. I'm thinking between two colleges, probably Heartland and West Coast, but I'm still waiting on the Lord just to direct my life.
My name is Viviana Villalobos. I've been coming to Heritage since 2008, going to 2009, late 2008. I was saved around when I was nine by Miss Linda. She was my Sunday school teacher. My brother got saved like a few months before, and he was just talking about how when he dies, he's just gonna go to heaven, and that kind of like scared me because I didn't know where I was gonna go. So one day after Sunday school, she opened her Bible, she had me pray, and she read me verses from the Bible. And my favorite sermon was from Brother Jesse, what he's been preaching these last couple weeks about our prayer life, just journeying with Jesus. It's just really convicting me on how I should really be working more towards my prayer life, and how I should just get more in depth in my prayer, not just pray for a couple seconds and just feel I just need to get more in depth in my prayer life. I appreciate when we first started coming here, we had no family here because we were from California, and they just like brought us in like as their church family. It was really comforting. We had like gained a whole another family from this church. My favorite youth group memory is like just probably like the ski trips. This. Doing stuff that like I wouldn't do on a daily basis, like just being more adventurous with our youth group, just going to different places and stuff. I just want to say thank you, Mom and Dad, for everything you've done for me, just being there when I wasn't the best child ever, you know, I wasn't perfect, but you still taught me right from wrong. You always told me to put God first, and thank you for raising me and brothers. Good. After high school, I plan to attend Pensacola Christian College to major in elementary education. And I want to be a teacher and influence other kids to do right.
Thank you.
I invite you to take your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 13. I so much appreciate Pastor allowing me the privilege to bring a challenge to you all tonight, a short sermon. It is an awesome honor to serve the Lord. I remember as a teenager, the desire of my heart was to play sports. And I wanted either one of two things that, but either I wanted to be a professional soccer player or I wanted to be do some computer engineering. That's the only thing I really cared about, those two things. And I remember as a 10th grade boy, it was a Wednesday night, and it was just a normal Wednesday night. We played games just like we do, and it was just a normal lesson. And my youth pastor, his name's Greg Powell. You've never heard of him, but he's a pastor in Greenville, South Carolina area now. And my youth pastor brought a simple message about rend your heart and not your garments. And that night, I realized that up to that point in my life, everything in my life was about trying to look good on the outside. And as a 10th grade boy, God got hold of my heart. And it was that night that God changed my life. And it was just a few months later that I knew God was calling me to ministry. I didn't exactly know what. And as a teenager, God called me to preach. And I never thought I'd have the privilege to serve the Lord as a youth pastor. But it is an awesome privilege. And other than being a father and being a husband, I don't know if there's a title I like more than youth pastor. I love the opportunity to minister to teenagers. And again, I appreciate our church and allowing my wife and I to serve. And parents, we appreciate it. It's funny to think about the fact that if I started trying to count the miles the teenagers that are graduating have been in a car with me, I know we've been to the Atlantic and to the East Coast. Some of those pictures were in Washington, D.C., if you noticed that. We've been to California. We've been to the Gulf. We've been to Honduras. We have flown airplanes together. We have driven in cars. We've done lots of fun stuff. And parents, I appreciate the opportunity you've given us to be ourselves and to have a good time with your kids. And we're going to miss these teenagers. The teenagers, when you talk about memories and talk about fun times, this is one of the teenagers that are there beginning. We talk about the Virginia trip and things. And so this next group coming up will be the group who moved in as seventh grade. So it'll be a special group for us as well. And we're thankful again for the privilege. But tonight I want to just give a challenge to the seniors. But in doing so, it's a challenge that I think God will hopefully speak to all our hearts about. Acts chapter number 13 and verse number 16. The Bible said, "Then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand said, 'Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. And with a high arm brought he them out of it. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. And after that he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterwards they desired a king. And God gave unto them the Saul, the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. So understand, this is Paul recounting to the men that he's preaching to about the history of the children of Israel. And I want you to notice what he emphasizes here in verse number 22. Talk about Saul, and the Bible says, "And when he," that's God, "had removed him," that's Saul, "he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, 'I have found David, the son of Jesse.'" And mark this, if you mark things in your Bible, I'd encourage you to mark this in your Bible. "A man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will." Saul was the people's choice, if you remember the Bible. They wanted a king, and so Samuel went to God, and God gave him Saul. Saul was head and shoulders above everybody else, and Saul was the kind of guy that if you looked at, you'd say, this guy's going to do something great. As a youth pastor, as church members, there's no doubt, as you see teenagers, we can begin to get ideas about teenagers and think, you know what, if they follow God, they're going to do something great in their life. And we look through these eyes, and we look through eyes of flesh. And we might look at somebody and say, they are talented, they have a great musician's voice, or they're a very well-spoken teenager. And we might look at people, and we can look at them, and we can judge what we think God may do with them. But may I tell you tonight that we're not the judge. And when God's looking for someone to do something great for Him, He has a requirement. And God said, "Saul, no, I'm not looking for somebody who's going to partially obey me." And here's what God said: "I'm looking for a man after mine own heart." And I submit to you today that I would love to give advice to seniors tonight that will help every one of them to have successful, profitable lives. I would love for them to someday have a decent house and a decent car, and I'd love for them to have a family. But you know what? I would love to see it happen all their lives, but I'd like to give them some advice tonight that's so much greater than that. It's not just about your degree and your occupation, your family. Something that you need to work on now in order that someday you'll be there.
Because all of life, really, we think of life as this long thing. But I want you to realize that life is actually, eternity is going to last a long time. I was talking to somebody the other day about heaven and thinking the fact that we're going to be in the presence of Jesus in 1,000 years will be like a day. I mean, I can't even imagine that. I can't fathom time. But I want you to understand something. If this is eternity and the line starts here and goes on forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and it just wraps around the world, somewhere in some little pin way back here is your life that you're living now. And we put so much emphasis on getting and getting and getting and being something. And I want to remind you that when God's looking for a man, God's looking for a woman, He really has one requirement. He's looking for somebody after His own heart. And whether that means that you'd take a, Reagan takes a business degree, and I'd be very proud of Reagan if Reagan starts a business and is a servant of the Lord and faithful in his church and helps support his church. He's a faithful soul winner. I'd be just as proud of him as if Noah does go off to Bible college and Noah does serve the Lord and become a youth pastor or pastor. I'd be proud of both those young men because I really, the deal isn't what God calls them to do. The question is, will they now be men after God's own heart? And I'm looking forward to Caitlin. Caitlin's going to go off. And I know Caitlin is really interested in music. And Caitlin may go off and she may go to Tarrant and she may end up at a different college. She may stay at Tarrant. But if Shelby may go to Heartland or Shelby may go to Pensacola or Shelby may go to West Coast. But I'm going to be just as proud of either one of them no matter what they do if they'll simply be teenagers after God's own heart. But I would like to give you, I say five. This sounds like it could be a long sermon. It's not at all. But just five insights into what it is that allowed David to be called the man after God's own heart. Some things I think will be helpful to you. Number one, I think one of the things that David knew was he had to develop skills and talents at an early age. Develop skills and talents at an early age. You know, if you've been around me for a little while, the teenagers know there's a couple things I really detest and there's some things I hate. So I'm going to let the teenagers answer to see how well they know me. What is one thing I absolutely hate, teenagers? What's that? Laziness. Yes, that's exactly one of the things I detest more than anything. I think it's sad that in our generation, we've raised the generation of teenagers that know how to work the iPhones, they know how to work on the computers, and they know how to play the games, and they know how to do all this stuff, but sometimes it seems like they just haven't learned how to work. And I think that the interesting thing about David is, did you ever think about how David came on the scene as a great man of God? David's one day outside, and he's taking care of sheep. And they came to his dad, Jesse, and they said, Samuel says, God's chosen one of your sons to be the next king of Israel. And he brings all the kids before him and he says, surely Eliab, this has got to be the Lord's anointed. And they go through 7 of the sons and they say, this is not one of them. And I'm sure Samuel scratched his head like, I mean, I know God sent me here. And then they said, well, there's just David, but he's just out taking care of the sheep. You know what David was doing? Exactly what he was told to do, take care of the sheep. David wasn't in a place of prominence. David wasn't the most important kid. He wasn't the largest, the tallest, the smartest. But you know what David was? David was faithful. Now, I want you to think about this. David was out there, and the Bible says that one day came a day when there was a lion and a bear. And David just reached, and he grabbed a slingshot, and David just took that little slingshot, and he ran the bear, and he ran the lion off. One day, David goes, and he just obeys his dad. His brothers are at war, remember? And he's supposed to take cheese and go down and take their pledge. Basically, go down and check on the battle. And he comes down there and he hears about a guy named Goliath who's roaring and he's defying the armies of God. And Israel's scared to death and everyone's scared to death. And there's this little tiny teenage boy named David. And David said, who's going to fight him? I'll go. I remember he goes into battle and Goliath detests him. And Goliath starts, quote unquote, talking trash to David and talking trash about his God. And David said, I'm going to tear your limb for limb and I'm going to feed you to the fowls of the air. I'm sure Goliath laughed, and as Goliath went to charge at him, we know David just reached in, and what did he grab? He grabbed that sling. When did he learn how to use that? Do you think David all of a sudden time out and grabbed a little book that said slings for dummies and try to figure this out real quick? Now, you know what David did? David, as a young boy, simply learned to do what he was supposed to do. He learned some skills. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, now this is hard, do all to the glory of God. I think that sometimes the menial task of life, and I'll tell myself a little bit, sometimes I do these things that don't seem that important, and I forget that everything I do, I'm supposed to do to God's glory. I'm supposed to do it for a purpose, for a reason. The menial task around your house, the things that you're learning, I wrote down some skills that some of our teenagers have. Music. Some of you are great musicians. Some of you guys are just wonderful at talking to people. You're very personable teenagers. Some of you guys are outgoing. Some of you all are just super sweet and super caring people. You know what you should do? Use those skills, learn to develop them. You know what's interesting about David? I'd like to invite you to take your Bible to Psalm 78. Would you turn there? Psalm chapter 78. One of the skills that David has, and I love it as God recounts in Psalm chapter 78 for us, Israel's history again. In Psalm 78 and verse number 70, we have a little bit of insight into maybe why God chose David to be the king in Israel. Psalm chapter 78, verse number 70. The Bible says, that's God. He chose David also his servant and took him from the sheepfolds. From following the ewes, great with young, he brought him to feed Jacob his people and Israel his inheritance. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. I get the idea that God's saying to us, David learned how to be a shepherd. And he thought he was out there taking care of sheep, but God had much bigger plans. Because God had the descendants of Jacob, the children of Israel, and God said, I have something to shepherd more important than just some ewe lambs out in the field. You're going to shepherd my people. And I just want to remind you that David had a sling, and David had a harp, and David had a staff, and he used all those skills, and God was preparing them for what God had in the future. Look, the menial task right now that your parents asked you to do, the skills about playing an instrument, and the skills about practicing and learning those things, teenagers, seniors, don't take them lightly. Because God may just use your skill to put you in front of a king to play your harp or to play your instrument someday. God wants to prepare you. Number two, be a gracious and a giving person toward others. And most importantly, toward the Lord and His work. You know, David's at the end of his life, and David's not allowed to build a temple. And David, the Bible says, he was a man of war, he's a bloody man. Solomon could come along, and Solomon could. And we don't necessarily have time to turn there, but I'd invite you at some point to turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 11 through 17. As David prays, and here's David's prayer. David says, Lord, who am I that you'd allow me to give so willingly after this sword? David prepared for the house of God, and David did all these things. But here's what David said. David is the great psalmist of Israel. David is the man who killed Goliath. Remember the song one time? Saul has slain his thousands, and the song was second verse, but David is 10,000s. But David never lost his humility, and David simply said, God, who am I? God had blessed David miraculously, but in his life, here's what he did. He was still giving. David said, I can give willingly to God. Hey, some of you all will be successful business people someday. You know why God's given the ability to take care of family? But a second thing, to be faithful in your church. You know, one of the greatest things about being a youth pastor and about being a pastor, I'd imagine I'm not. But when you have faithful people in your church who just faithfully serve the Lord and support the local church, whether that's through serving the Lord and doing some ministry, whether that's through a financial gift, but just people who will simply be faithful to God. And you know what? Don't be looking out for everyone else to give you something. We have many, many people in churches today across our country. We have, unfortunately, it's even true in our church. There's people who come and all they want is something to receive. But it would be great if we all came to church and were looking to give something. And David was a man who was a giver. Number three, trust God's plan and His timing. Trust God's plan. And I know I love asking the seniors, what do you believe God has for your life? Because some of them just, they automatically get ready because you know they don't know the answer to it yet. And you know what? That's just fine. Because not do we trust God's plan, but trust God's timing. Remember as a boy, David was anointed to be the next king of Israel? It happened right away, didn't it? David's there and he's ministering to Saul. And one day Saul throws a javelin at David. Looks like things are a little bit rocky. And David goes on the run for his life. And one day David and Abishai come and they're out there and they see Saul laying on the ground. And David's servant said to him, the Lord has delivered him into your hands. And David said, no. It's not time. He said, who am I to raise up my hand against the Lord's anointed? See, David, I'm sure, would have loved to not be on the run and not been hiding in caves and not been scaring for his life. But look here. God was using the wilderness to prepare David for the palace. There's going to be times in your life where things may not seem like they're going great. But may I tell you something? Do not become a pragmatist. A pragmatist is someone who says the end justifies the means. I'm just going to be honest with you. There's a point when I was in business and I sold mattresses. And the Lord smote my heart because there were times when I would stretch the truth, i.e. I would lie to customers and say, that's the best deal we can give you, when I knew it wasn't. But you know what? After a little while, it started bothering my conscience. And I said to my boss, I said, you know what? I want to sell mattresses, but I can't do this. I have to lie to customers. You know, God smote my heart about that. And I think it's good for us to always do everything we can to not become pragmatic, not to get ahead of God and say, you know what, I'm going to figure this out. God, I want you to meet a need. Well, I can miss church, or I can do this, or I can do this around my family because the end justifies the means. But listen, the end doesn't. You just simply trust God and trust not just His plan, but trust His timing. Number four, Don't allow your failures to detour or to ruin you. If I say David, everyone's either going to say one of two names. Either David and Bathsheba or David and... We remember people for their great acts, don't we? And we remember them for their things they did and failures. But you know what's awesome about David? David was a man who sinned, and David faced grievous consequences for his sin. Lost a child, had the sword in his home. His son Absalom was killed. Tamar had horrible things done there. David faced a lot of consequences. But may I tell you what happened? David didn't just simply say, you know what, I've messed up. It's over. I'm just going to give up. Psalm chapter number 51, David cries out, God, have mercy upon me, O Lord. Forgive my transgressions. Blot out my iniquities. He says, wash me thoroughly and I shall be clean. David cried to God and David said, Lord, I do not want my sin to define me. I want to deal with my sin. And Psalm chapter 51, all of us at times in our life deal with sin. May I encourage you, seniors, adults, children, do not let some sin in your life or some sin in your past define who you are. Go to the cross, run to the cross, find forgiveness, repent of that, and ask God to forgive you. And do not let your sin define your detour. Use it, get right with God, and then move forward. Amen. David did not allow his sins to, his failures to detour him or ruin him. Finally, the very last one, I'd like to invite you to turn to Psalm chapter 42, verse 1. Who was David? The Bible says, God said about David, a man after mine own heart. Now, all those things are wonderful things, but I want to show you what I believe was the key and the secret to David's life. Psalm chapter 42, verse 1. There's the psalmist, and we believe it's David writing here. Here's what this psalmist says. Verse number 1. As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? You know what David's saying in the psalm? Panting. You know, I like playing sports. When I get hot and sweaty, I've been playing sports, there's nothing like a cup of cold water. When I get there, I am panting, I'm tired, I'm almost as if I'm a dog. I just want that water. When I get that water thrills my soul, it quenches my thirst. And David said, here's how I live my life. As the heart pants out of the water brook, Lord, my soul pants to be with you. We're in the middle of a series right now in our youth department. The series is Journeying with Jesus. And we're taking a walk through the gospel records and being discipled by Jesus as he discipled his disciples. And here's my challenge for every one of us tonight. The Bible said, some people, they honor me with their lips. But Jesus said, the hypocrites, their heart is far from me. So I have this question for you tonight. How is the condition of your heart, church? Hidden behind where everyone else can see, what are your secret desires and your secret passions? What matters most to you? Is Jesus the pursuit and the passion of your life, or has he just become a Sunday tradition? I wrote down this. Do you love what he loves and do you hate what he hates? Say, who was David? Well, David was a great man. But may I remind you, as a teenager, they said about David, a man after God's own heart. Later on, God says, a man after God's own heart. You start right and you finish right. Some of us are adults. And some of you out in the room would say, Brother Jesse, you know, I'm not a man after God's own heart. May I tell you some great news? You can be. God's a God who's a personal God, and he desires. Seniors, may I tell you some great advice? Lots of things about business and lots of things about college. That's all wonderful stuff. But if you will simply become a person who desires what God desires, and the passion of your life is to please Jesus Christ and to have a personal relationship with him, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Pastor.
Well, I can't add to that. Very, very good. David, a man after God's own heart, I believe, as Brother Latta believes, because he walked with the Lord. You can, again, let your sin define you, but David didn't. He was always repentant, always comes to God and says, Lord, forgive me. Return unto me the joy of thy salvation. And what a good example for us. Teenagers, remind you what Solomon said at the end of his life. All is vanity, all is useless, all is worthless, except to what? Fear God, keep his commandments. And let us follow the Lord first. Very good message. Let's all stand. Hymn 351. 351, wherever he leads, I'll go. After we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for your guidance and wisdom. We pray that upon the seniors tonight, that you would lead and direct them. pray that they would seek you and they would follow you. We do ask that you would just again and put upon all of our hearts to be men and women after God's own heart. In Jesus' name, amen.